Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Fareem, welcome to the Triple M Friday Huddle for McDonald's McCafe.
Triple M rocks footy.
Paradise, that's what they call it, paradise. The gateway to the Bellarine Peninsula. We are in Geelong, a new stadium seating 36,000 people. The number one regional stadium in the country. And I look around this box and never have I seen a group of men so happy to trip down the highway. Nathan Brown is here, Chris Judd is here, Damien Barrett is here. Luke Darcy is actually not here at this point. He must have got waylaid. But Juddy, last week we were in Brighton, now we're in Geelong. It's quite, as you would say, a juxtaposition.
Well, it sure is, Harry, but it's good to come out here and just flew down here on the chopper, actually, and got the passport checked in, but it is great to be here, and the stadium's come up $1 million.
The first thing I'd notice, I don't know how people do it every week the other way. There's a lot of people who live down this way, and they go to Melbourne all the time and think that it is the greatest thing since sliced bread. It is a nightmare trip down here, I tell you that. It was bumper to bumper pretty much the whole way. Our great man Darcy, he's late because of it, and it's just been a bad start.
Nath, you're telling a man that does that trip every
five days a week. Just moved to Melbourne.
And because Nath, you look at the Bellarine.
And you did it in the comfort of the passenger seat anyway. You were falling asleep most of the trip.
I did have a sleep in your car. It was quite uncomfortable, the 1987 Subaru. You don't even have Bluetooth at the moment, Damo. You don't have a screen at the top of your car. What's that called?
Sunroof.
Yeah. So
it is a historic occasion, though, Damo, in some ways. The opening of the new stand, 36,000 people here now. They can get in. Mm. Will they start to get bigger drawing teams down at the Cattery as a result?
Well, that's the plan. And they also want to remove the three-game component that they've got at Etihad Stadium too, Howie, which makes sense given that this magnificent stadium now has had nearly $200 million pumped into it. There's another stage to come, which is another, I think, 40 or 50 million. I don't know how Brian Cook's managed to pull it off the way he has, given that, as it stands, only 8 games of footy get played. A couple of cricket games, a couple of random soccer games. They'd need to get that sorted out from a big picture perspective. But this is, as they have been promoting and spruiking now for some time, as good as it gets in the AFL when it comes to the creature comfort.
It must be said, we went into the wrong area of the ground when we first walked in. We walked into Brian Cook. He had Gil McLachlan at the back of him, all the dignitaries there. He was very, very quick to rush a Damo out of there.
Out.
He didn't want anything. He goes, Damo, you're not in here. You're down there. Quickly get down there. Can someone take Damien Barrett out?
They've done very well to get the grants. All the local schools around the Bellarine have closed, but the stadium, the stadium is quite extraordinary. What a lineup of guests we've got coming your way. Matthew Scarlett, this man, second hardest man ever to interview in the history of football when he was playing behind our own Chris Judd. Now he's a media personality, so I look forward to having a chat with
he's
Scarlett.
He's opened up a bit, hasn't he, over the journey?
He needed to.
Selling himself a bit too, I reckon, Howie.
Yes.
Maybe a job in the offing for him at some stage.
I look forward to two of the most boring interviews in football, Chris Judd and Matthew Scarlett going head on air. That'll be interesting. Marty Dangerfield as well. Paddy Dangerfield's wife is joining us in the box, and Maddie Boyd as well. But before we get into too much of the big issues, Damo, we need to have a little bit of a debrief about what happened last week when we went off air in the $4 million Judd Cave. I've had that many people say to me, you know, has it sort of got the old couches?
That's just the value on the cave, the rest of the property.
An extraordinary setup down there. But my highlight of the night, we were sitting there and young Oscar, your five-year-old,
yes,
he came down, all the other 17 kids had been put away by the three nannies. Yeah. So everything was well and truly taken care of. Oscar came down, slid into a slice of pizza. And then
he was having a great time, wasn't he?
He was having a fantastic time. He was relaxed. He's a very eloquent young man. He was threatening to pull out.
Talkative.
What was he going to pull out at halftime? His secret dance.
Yeah.
And then he started sledging Das about the result, which I found entertaining. But the bit that really captured me, Damo, was when you started asking him about his favourite player.
Yes.
And he answered, being a West Coast man, that he loves Nick Natanui.
Yep.
But then you went on an Asada-style inquiry because you weren't happy with that.
Well, no, he then volunteered that of the 22 players for the Eagles on that night, because Nick Nat wasn't one of the 22, that his favourite player on that night was Josh Kennedy,
yes,
which amused me a little bit because of the backstory. And I thought Oscar at some stage needed to know how Josh Kennedy found his way to West Coast.
And he didn't. No, he didn't know.
As a five-year-old, I don't think you needed to let him know in the direct manner you did, don't you?
No, but I tell you what, he was very buoyant at the end of it all when Juddy himself, and just for those who do forget that Josh Kennedy did go to West Coast because Juddy went to Carlton, took all the money, and there was no room left for anyone to be paid.
At which point, Oscar...
That's fake news.
No, this is not fake news, because I remember the quote exactly. After you explained, he said, well, I'm glad Josh went to West Coast and think that we did better out of it.
Yes, he did. And then Chris then followed up with, we're living in this house, aren't we?
As they call it in football, it's a win-win, is what you're telling your 5-year-old.
There's win-wins, there's no losers, Howie. And that's, that was the moral of the story.
So I was amused by that.
Yeah, as we were about your wine offering on the night too, Howie. And,
now, come on.
Now, I don't know whether you caught up with it. We talked about you after you left because you had one sip of the beautiful Grange that these two guys offered. And then you took off, as you do. But then BT got wind of this story last week. And then in true BT style, critiqued what happened with your offering of the wine the previous night.
How many of them were left at the end of the night?
Just Howie's. We didn't bother to open Howie's bottle last night.
Well, he departed. Is this true?
Yes, he departed.
Howie's you could use to add to the Gravox when you're mixing up the Gravox. You know, you just put a bit of red wine.
Come on, bro. I think that's a bit harsh. I made a tremendous effort to buy an appropriate bottle.
Jody, what happened? We got through your beautiful Grange, Brownie's beautiful Grange, and the other wines on offer. And then there was one bottle standing, wasn't it? And Luke was there as well. And what do we do? We just decided to...
We felt it wasn't right to...
We were hurt by Howie's absence, to be honest. Yeah, okay. Weren't we?
I must say that this is a bottle that James Brayshaw advised me to buy, but no.
We just felt that it wasn't right to finish off the night with Howie's bottle, considering we've racked such amazing wine that he's a little bit wet behind the ears when it comes to wine.
Nath, you can get stuffed for a moment. I noticed you chipping in there. Now, Damien, this is not the type of questions I can ask because you are the hard-hitting journo, but you've given me a hard time, Nath. I think, Damo, you need to set the record straight here. You need to ask Nath a few questions about his bottle.
Yeah, Brownie, you were late, as Darcy is tonight, clearly. You were late. You were late last week. And you came in with a claim that you had a Grange in your bag.
Did you drink Grange on the night?
Yes, I did. But at that point in time, when you declared to our many hundreds of thousands of listeners that you had a Grange, you did not have a bottle of Grange in your bag. It may have materialised some 45 minutes later.
It doesn't matter how I got the Grange, and but I turned up with Grange.
You turned up without the Grange initially, and I think you should reveal now.
You can't prove
it. Oh, no, I know what happened now. And you may as well want to come clean now, because if you don't, we will. How did it actually...
Well, I was a bit frazzled, so I thought I'd have time to go home, obviously like Darcy did tonight, and... He's a bit late, and I thought I'd get the Grange and then come over to Brighton because it was only a couple of suburbs away. And then I got a little bit frazzled, and I didn't get there on time. And then I'd forgotten the bottle of wine, and I got there, and I saw all the nice bottles of wine, the Henri. I saw Juddy's very nice bottle. I saw Howie's piece of junk. And I thought, geez, I forgot it. And then you blokes asked me, I said, yes, I do have the wine. And I thought, this is going to be a big test because I've got to ring my wife now and try and sort this out. At home all day with four kids, and... I dialed the number and she answered and goes, yes. And I thought, this is going to be a hard sell. So I got her to put the wine into an Uber all the way to Brighton, and luckily it got there.
I put it to you, Nathan, as much as you criticise my bottle of wine, that you turned up empty-handed, looked around what was on the table, and at that point realised you needed to bring something and started organising your wine at that point. Yet you were happy to go on radio on Saturday and belt mine when you turned up empty-handed.
Your wine was rubbish, that's why, Howie.
All right, a lot of footy news getting around. At some stage, we hope Darce will join us at the magnificent Cattery. The Cats are out on the ground at the moment. I see Paddy Dangerfield down there. His wife, Marty, is going to join us later on, which I'm really looking forward to. GWS, news out of GWS. They're not travelling that well, Damien.
No, got a game against Richmond, as we know, Howie, on the weekend. And Devin Smith is a late out from the 22 they named last night with a knee injury that's going to keep him out for 6 weeks. And we know they've had a string of injuries already to this point. So it's another setback for them. They're still 6-2, so they're covering it at this point. But given that Whitfield has only just come back for the one game, Coniglio got injured again last week himself. They're already without Delidio and Griffin as well, obviously. So there's a few concerns. And Rory Lobb didn't train at the main session during the week. And just news yesterday was that he was no better than 50-50 yesterday to actually take his place in the team. So Richmond may well be getting them at a good time.
Nerley Meadows joins as always. She'll be patrolling down on the boundary, on the magnificent new boundary. But Nez, you were up there yesterday for one of your employees getting exclusives, as you do. What's the latest up there at GWS?
Well, interesting on Rory Lobb. I actually turned up to training about 10, 15 minutes into the main session on Wednesday, and I actually spotted Rory Lobb going into the car park in his civvies, getting into the car while the main session was going on. So he didn't train barely at all on Wednesday. So straight away I thought, well, that's not a good look. And then Lockie Whitfield as well, they were expecting expecting him to play less than what he did last year, given he was coming from such a long way back. He played around an average of 88% game time last year. Now, with the injuries that they had, with two players down before halftime, he ended up playing 92%. So they're also concerned about him backing up as well. But I was up there for an exclusive interview with Toby Green, who we know is coming back from suspension after he copped that two-match ban for striking Caleb Daniel, the Western Bulldog. Now, he is adamant that he did not mean to hit him. He said, I copped the 1 week because I did connect with his head, but I was trying to spoil the ball and shouldn't have been graded as intentional. But he revealed to us that he is actually taking some fairly decent measures to make sure that he doesn't cross the line again, because he admitted that he would cry if he missed a final, and he's worried about letting his teammates and his coach and his family down. So let's have a listen about what he had to say to AFL Today. The interview will go to air tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. on Fox Sports News. This is Toby Green.
I've done a little bit with our psychologist here at the club, Rosie. We just had a few little chats about things I can put in place and how I've become more aware of the situation. So we've done a little bit with her, and I think that'll continue.
So Toby Green just talking there, revealing that he's seeing the club psychologist, will continue to do some work with her. He realises that he toes the line but sometimes crosses it, and he needs to be more aware of when that's about to occur, because he really doesn't want to let his teammates down again.
What's he like, Toby Green?
He's a great kid. He's a really lovely... best way to describe him, he's like that naughty little kid that he does some silly things, but then he'll look at you, he'll smile, he'll give you a hug, and you can't stay mad at him. You know, he's really genuine, and I've written an article tonight. It was revealed to me that he's got an incredibly close relationship with Gabrielle Traynor, who is an inaugural board member at GWS, but he's now an AFL commissioner. He goes round there for dinners, family dinners, has the lasagna there, and I spoke to Gabrielle this morning. She loves him, and she... He was really upset by the fact that he's been called a grub, a dirty player, a thug. And when I put those three words to Toby, his immediate response was, oh, well, grub's not ideal. And that's the kind of bloke that he is, that he takes it on the chin. I asked him what his mum thought of the whole thing, and he basically said that she said to stop punching people, and that she was persuaded by the media and didn't believe what he was saying first.
Nez, extraordinary reporting, and also the fact that you squeezed 7 exclusives, 3 articles and 2 television shows in that entire grab, I thought was excellent work. How do you reckon they're going, GWS? I noticed that they're talking Brett DiLilio's got now a date where he hopes to come back and play, but still premiership favourites, Juddy, or not?
I think they probably are, particularly with Adelaide dropping the last 2 games, but they're certainly not playing at their best. But in a roundabout way at this time of year, that's not always a bad thing. It's unrealistic that you're going to be right at your peak for the whole season, so they'll be hoping they get a bit more continuity at the back end of the year.
I like how you boys were all here early. Nath, you were here at 5:10, Juddy 5:15, Damo 5:80. One job for the spiritual leader of this group, Luke Darcy. It's an 82-kilometre trip, but apparently, Darcy, it's taking you 25 minutes longer than everyone else to get here. Welcome to the Friday Huddle. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, fairly relaxing drive down, Howie, as a rule. Can I just say, I left at 4 o'clock, a reasonable time, I thought 2 hours to allow yourself to get here, Brownie. And I jumped on Google Maps, which says to you, you've got 1 hour and 9 minutes to get here. So I allowed myself 51 minutes, probably fairly rude. It's taken me 45 minutes, the last 800 metres, and then I spent 20 minutes in the lift getting up here, Howie.
Hey,
this new stadium can get stuff. Seriously, I've heard Billy Brownlee on the way. This is the greatest place of all time. This is fantastic.
You wouldn't have left till 5 o'clock, Darce, I reckon.
I guarantee you, I left at 4 o'clock.
I know you better than anybody else in this box, and I know the how you can blow up in your temper. How many people got road raged on the way down from
Melbourne? Funny, I just bumped into Scotty Gullen in the lift, and the Herald Sun. He said, are you driving a white Lexus thing that came 3 wide? Past me on the last turn, Howie. What are you doing, mate? Surely you can swim. And maybe they could put an extra attendant on Juddy on the car park. Do you think? I should have been in the chopper with Juddy.
There's a real sort of Howie Roughhead v Hodge moment when in your absence, where Howie started talking about sanctions of matches.
Well, I think fair enough too. Right? One job, Darce. It's not that hard to slide down the highway. You're here now.
I've settled down, Howie, little bit. Just got some composure back, and some news is filtering through from the official function, Brownie, Juddy, Damo, boys, is that and some big industries. The Premier, Daniel Andrews, is here. The Treasurer, Tim Pallas, I saw on the way through. Gillon McLachlan, all the heavy hitters from the AFL. And I understand that as the function has just started, and words come through from a very, very good source, Wayne Carey, that Brian Taylor might have exposed himself to the whole function. Now, I need this confirmed again, but listen
exposed
to Saturday
himself.
Rub. He might have been changing out of his civvies into his Channel 7 gear, and everyone in this town who means anything in this town has seen the full package from Brian. So I look forward to tuning in tomorrow, Damo, and see if that one gets some run. Channel 7 studio was where he was based, but everyone had a full view of a naked bristle.
I'm not sure that's the best look. Is it?
I don't think anyone should see that.
A BT sausage.
I don't think Tanya wants to see that. And that's the mail coming out.
What's happened to his hair at the moment, Brownie? BT, you saw it before.
Has he had a rinse through it?
Oh, he's done something to it.
I reckon he has had some sort of rinse put through it.
I asked him and he denied it. He told me it was the lights. The lights of the Friday night football cameras. Damien, a bit of news getting around. I noticed you were talking last night on the footy show about Ben Cousins, a sad story that keeps getting sadder in some ways.
Yeah, it is, Howie. And it was just something that started filtering out in the past 8 or 10 days and managed to get it confirmed that he actually has been, in the past 2 weeks, assaulted in the WA prison he's in. And look, the lead up to it, there was a group who asked him to do something and he said no. And his lawyer today has confirmed that there was an assault of sorts in terms of what he's been there. So it's just yet another messy and unfortunate chapter in the whole Ben Cousins story. And one that is still going to have him in jail for quite a few more months yet because of the breaking of the AVO situation he had over in Perth. So I don't know how much lower it can get, and it's not easy to talk about, and you don't want to talk about it, but it is part of the Ben Cousins story.
It's not easy to talk about, and to be honest, Juddy, whenever this comes up when you're in the room, to be completely frank with you, I always feel a little bit awkward when you're in the room. Do you feel awkward when we talk about Cousy? That's as honest as I can be with you.
No, I don't feel awkward. I just feel a huge amount of sorrow for Ben and in particular his family as well, for the suffering that they've gone through over a really extended period of time now. So I think everyone in the footballing community lives in hope that things will get better. And hopefully, you know, this experience is unpleasant, as I'm sure it's been. Perhaps will be the turning point for his story.
Yeah, that's the hope, isn't it? And people around him, Juddy, are hoping that the absence from life itself while he's in jail and as bad as that is may well be a trigger to something better when he comes out.
How you speak to people, and we do regularly on the show, during the morning at the Hot Breakfast, and Andrew Rule comes in, and it can be flippant sometimes about what 12 months in jail. You speak to anyone who just says any time inside is just the most horrific life experience, and people change forever out of that. Let's hope somehow some good comes out of it, but it just sounds horrible.
A lot of players out of contract as we get to the round 9 stage of this 2017 season. Someone who shopped himself around last year, and it was quite open the way he did it, was Tom Rockliffe. He was on the footy show last night, Howie, and as you're about to hear, still open-minded as to what the future holds for him.
To be honest, I haven't really thought about 2018 at the moment. Obviously got a kid on the way. Really enjoying my footy at Brisbane at this stage. Every time I've pulled on the Brisbane Lions jumper, I've given 100%. I'm sure in the background, my management and the footy club will begin those conversations.
What do you make, guys? He did test the market last year, and there were going to be offers for him, but they weren't quite as lucrative as he wanted them to be. He is a former captain of that club and is now back being captain, given Dane Beams is injured last week, at least anyway. So he's clearly still going to consider some future elsewhere.
Did the money scare people off last year?
It did.
And the way he was perceived at the footy club, which he's obviously trying to change the way people perceive him now. But 800 was bandied around for a player. Well, he's a very good player, but when he gets 37 possessions, I think 26 or 28 of those are handballs. So I think he's the sort of player that probably needs to turn that around and have more of an influence on the game if he's going to be paid that sort of money.
What about you, Juddy? Do you rate him as an elite on-baller for demanding that type of money?
Yeah, look, I think he's a really good midfielder. I think sometimes there's question marks over his metres gained and how much impact he has over games. I think he's been better this year. And certainly his numbers have been really solid. So I don't know if you put him quite in the 800 camp, but he's certainly a walk-up starter and an A-grader in any side.
Damo, you had some pretty strong things to say about Tommy Rockliffe and how it was going up in Brisbane last year for him. How is it when you get to the footy show and you know Tommy Rockliffe's coming on and you're out the back in the green room and you know you're getting your notes done and then Tommy walks and he's like, "G'day, Damo." Then what happens?
Like, we have patched it up to a point, Howie. But having said that, it was a little bit frosty at one stage last night. But we have patched it up for what it's worth.
Can you tell me about the patch up? I love the patch up.
Oh, no, all you do is have a conversation, but you obviously know there's a bit of ice there, I think, you know, with regards to how it was. And I don't back away from what I said, and I feel that what he did last year when he tested the market himself personally as much as his management, that it, you know, basically justified what I had said about him to that point, even as captain, that he was still being a destabilising influence. But as he keeps reminding me, his mum listens to a lot of the stuff that we say on this radio station, Howie, and but look, again, in terms of what he's also done, and Juddy said too, the way he started 2017, it's been very impressive, and that needs to be tabled as well. And Chris Fagan has been at pains to paint that picture publicly about him.
Dame, I've known you for a long period of time now, and I've never seen you ever too phased by anything, because physically, you're probably not going to intimidate too many people. Let's be honest, Dame, as a rule, but there are a lot of people that at times have probably wanted to get physical with you, and I can think of a couple of Scott brothers, Juddy, off the top of my head. I can probably
coach of your club,
Justin Leppich.
I think Justin Leppich has thought about it. I think all people very capable physically.
Yep.
And Dame, you are unfazed by that. Are you naive? Are you without?
I don't know whether it is, Darcy.
Sense of fear?
No.
Because I'd be worried.
I never provoke the physicality of it, Darcy. And I think probably because I know that whatever happens at that moment, I'm not going to win. So maybe it's just a subconscious feeling and status that I've got about whatever they want to do to me, that is it. Because I won't be coming back.
How many awkward conversations do you have a week? It would be more than the normal person.
Like, well, heard one in the car on the way down, didn't you? I think with someone I was sort of trying to have a conversation with.
So is that a daily occurrence for you?
It's not a daily occurrence, but it's semi-regular. But that's what happens. Yeah.
And Howie.
The one that Dust just rattled off.
Speaking to Juddy about asking questions about you being awkward in the box, this is a man that wears masks and also dressing gowns last week. There is no awkwardness about him. He could walk into any room and feel very, very at ease with
possibly
himself.
Possibly even maybe say sexy land and not feel awkward. I want you boys to think for later in the show, the biggest patch-up discussions you've had in footy. I want you to all give me one before we're off air, before the end of the Friday huddle, someone you had to go one-on-one and do a patch-up discussion with.
Well, Nathan, I had a 12-month spell after he left Richmond. Oh. It was a 12-month hiatus. Yeah.
Did
you?
Shook it up over there, he did.
What did he do?
He didn't realise that we were in the early 2000s. He thought it was still 1975 where you were either a shin boner or a dog and you're that for life.
Did you just ignore his calls or what happened?
All in all, it worked out pretty well for Brandon, that move. In hindsight, we probably... Yeah, we probably went on the money. I just thought it wasn't a great move for Brownie at the time. But
and told him that.
Maybe we had a fairly direct conversation, Brownie, that got a bit awkward for a while. But when he was flying in helicopters over land packages, Danny, I knew we'd lost him, but I wasn't happy about it.
We moved on.
How'd the land packages turn out in the end?
Nah, still paying him off. paying him off. Good old Clinton Casey.
Juddy, you've mentioned a few times in Judge Juddy, which I've really enjoyed, a former Kangaroo and Richmond player, which we always get a chuckle out of. You might have had an interesting meeting, I was told by a couple of my spies this week.
Well, they do say you should never meet your heroes, Howie. But I proved that wrong this week when I did get to meet the big little man, Robin Nahas, himself. And it was a very special moment. It was an emotional moment for me.
Where were you, Jody? Just set the scene for us, please.
Were you in the shower?
No, it's just, I didn't recognise him with his pants on, but he did call out. He said, "Juddy, don't have to sort out the fans. Just more of the same." He said, what do you want, mate? I'm pretty busy. I've got a few things back at Jug Corp I've got to attend to. And he said, "Oh, it's Robin." I said, "Oh, dear God."
We
had a good chat. I tried to schedule him breakfast on the Sunday, which he was busy, and then I tried Monday and Tuesday as well, but he was tied up. But... I'm pretty certain we're going to catch up pretty regularly, and it's great to start building a relationship with one of the great men in football.
Had he known what you'd been saying about him?
He'd been aware
of
it, Purple. Yeah, he'd been filtering back through his sources. And
it's all positive for the little big man from where I sit. I don't think he could be anything apart from happy with you.
I can't see a lot of downside in it for him.
You can see the photo of the great meeting between the judge and Robin Nahas at Triple M Footy at the moment. Well done, Judge. Down on the boundary, doing a great job as always, Nearly Meadows. Nez.
Thank you very much, Howie. We're right in front of the Charles Brownlow stand, and I've got to tell you, it looks pretty impressive. I've got Matty Scarlett with me. Matty, this is a special night for the club.
Yeah, big night for the footy club. We've moved in the new facilities this week, and the boys are pretty pumped. So really important that we go out and play a good brand of footy tonight. So, the boys are pumped.
Hey, Scarlett, just watching the huddle in the middle of the centre circle. Fair bit of that seemed to be driven by you. Mate, you had a lot to say out there. I understand that's a normal pre-game routine. Any insight? What sort of message are you giving this far out from game time?
I just reinforced some of the messages that we spoke about throughout the week, mate. I just spoke about our defence a little bit there and our kick-in defence, and Scotty talks about a couple other structures. But that was mainly led by the players in there and just what they want from each other tonight. So we do that every week, mate. So, that's nothing new.
Why out on the ground, Scully? Is that just get out and have a feel for the environment? And, obviously most clubs would do that inside. Is there any particular reason behind that?
Just something different, mate. Obviously, we spend a lot of time. Players get to the ground really early these days and spend a couple of hours inside. So it's just about getting outside and getting a feel for the ground. And, the boys are really good in that huddle. But only words to this stage. We've got to get out and perform a lot better tonight.
And Scully, you've had a bit of travel and some six-day breaks. That's played a role in how the team's played the last couple of weeks at all?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it has much influence early on in the year. Later on in the year, I think it does, mate, the six-day breaks, especially for the older guys. But our guys have been pulling up really well from games. They've been actually training pretty well, but obviously been really, really disappointing with how we've played on the weekend. So, mate, absolutely zero excuse from us.
And that disappointing word there, Matty, obviously it takes in the Collingwood game 3 weeks ago, the Gold Coast game, and then the Essendon game last week. Do you know how it's been so stark from what you displayed in the first 5 weeks of the season to what we've seen in the past three?
Obviously, we know what we're doing wrong. The whole world does. We haven't been defending very well. Our pressure's been really poor, but also there's other parts of our game which have contributed to that. Our attack, we've turned the ball over in some really average spots, and in the modern game, they're hard to defend when you're kicking the ball really poorly and moving the ball really slow. So we know what we need to improve. We've addressed it over the last couple of weeks, so we're looking for a real spike in our performance tonight. The boys are ready to go, and I touched on it before. We moved into the new facilities on Monday, and boys come in with a smile. They've trained really well this week, so hopefully we can perform tonight.
So is it one of those, without wanting to overcook it, but is it one of those games tonight that is one of those ones you've just set yourself for and that you have to perform tonight, win, lose or draw? Is that the way you're viewing this one?
I think we do, mate. Yeah, it is a big game for us with what's happening in the town with the new facilities. We need to play well tonight, whether that's win, lose or draw. We just need to get our brand back and... You know, simple words, mate, just have a crack.
You've had enough of what you've displayed in the past three, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think the players have as well. Like, they don't deliberately go out on the ground and not play very well. It's a really hard game. We've played some good opposition that have played really well, and we haven't. So our players are hurting as much as anyone.
Scala, your coach last week was very critical, not of any individual, but you as a group. The Cats have been so good for a long time. A lot of players wouldn't have ever heard that. I mean, when you started, you would have copped the spray here and there. How did they handle it when you've been winning so much?
Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of weeks, mate. Like I said, the players have been really hurting. Obviously, the coaches are having a good hard look at ourselves in the mirror as well and making sure that we're coaching well. So we're just hopefully put it all together, mate. But Scotty's been terrific the last couple of weeks. Gone are the days where you get a real massive spray from the coach. He's a really methodical coach, and we go through our defence and attack and stoppage work, and the players are really clear on where we need to improve. But as I said before, it's really easy to talk about it. It's much harder to go out on the ground and get it done.
Scully, many years ago, we had the pleasure, Brownie, Juddy and I, of spending some time with you in Ireland. It was a very young Chris Judd back then. We didn't get a lot out of him, was my recollection. Have you caught any of his recent work, Scully?
Mate, I haven't, no. He was very quiet back then. I know he's not now.
He's loosened right up, Scully.
Yeah, I heard he has. Good on him, he needed to.
any thoughts on what he delivered back then? It was interesting. We had Warren Treadway on last week. Who didn't quite get it right over there, from my recollection.
No, he didn't. Juddy was good. He was good, nice and quiet, but it's good that he's loosened up.
He has loosened up. Just before we let you go, Scarlo, Howie here. Best of luck tonight. We appreciate your time. I remember my days down there on the boundary. Of course, you had to interview Matthew Scarlett. It wasn't going to be easy. You never used to do interviews unless the Cats lost. But like Juddy, you've turned yourself into a bit of a multimedia performer.
You're enjoying the media now. A lot more than I used to. I wanted to play footy and go home. Didn't really like you guys, but I do now.
I reckon it'd be fair to throw the word hate.
I did hate you guys. But no, I do like you boys. Need
anyone in particular, Scarlo, that you had? Was it Damien Barrett?
The whole lot, mate.
Just the whole lot.
He didn't single one out.
A blanket over
everyone.
Yeah, everybody.
All right, Scarlo, we appreciate your time. Best of luck tonight.
Thanks, guys.
From the man who brought you
World According to the Cool Breeze
comes another classic book about a footballer.
Well, I didn't think it'd get this far.
This
is just a mum's love.
Is My Son the Footballer.
This is My Son the Footballer, Damo. This is a book written by Brownie's mum, which is coming to your hands.
Sales are up. Michelle Brown is the author, although as we discovered last week, I'm up to page 83 and Brownie hasn't stopped writing about himself. So he's hiding behind this being an autobiography, clearly.
A book that he allegedly knew nothing about, had nothing to do with, but he's written the first 80 pages. Is that right?
Yeah, Dave? And the copy I've managed to get my hands on is actually a signed copy, signed by Nathan.
Don't embellish
to someone who did something too. What we're going to do today, people, is to retrace the steps of Nath through the eyes of his under-16 cricket coach, Das, and a man by the name of Les Norton, who contributes to Michelle Brown's book here in this way. Nathan was a very gifted leg spinner and top order batsman who could have gone on a very long way with his bowling if he had chosen cricket as his preferred sport. He was also very gifted at sledging. I used to field him at first slip and he would be in the batsman's ear from the first ball. And some of the stuff I heard, I could not believe was coming out of a 16-year-old's mouth. Even when he went out to bat, he used to sledge the bowler and fieldsman. There was a time when he represented Bendigo in numerous times at Junior Country Week. And let me tell you, we had some very eventful trips with Nathan. On one occasion, we saw two massive guys chasing Nathan around the streets of Kerrang after he had sledged them for flexing their flab. Nathan had to run into my motel unit and lock the door, and I was left to deal with these two giant men.
Nathan!
Oh, no. Your mum goes on there too, Brownie, to take up a story where you're a bit younger and you're with a friend by the name of Ben Johinke, and Nathan and Ben were riding bikes without helmets, and the police stopped them on one particular night. Because they thought that this might mean trouble for them with their Bendigo Pioneers, they gave false names and addresses. And one of the policemen recognised Nathan, though, and he escorted him home. We got a shock when we opened the door to be confronted by the boys in the company of two burly policemen. And the lesson out of that, according to Michelle Brown, was that the truth may hurt initially, but in the long run, it was better for Nathan to be honest, no matter what the circumstances may be.
Not sure that was a lesson that he learnt, Dale. My experience
nothing wrong with a bit of sledging.
Surely as a batsman, you weren't sledging the opposition.
Yes, I was, Howie. I was very good.
I need more of that.
Can you remember the two gentlemen who chased you around Kerrang, Brandon?
They were big. And I felt like if I had been caught on that occasion, my life could have been in danger.
And you called him fat, by the way.
Yeah, I did. I was a young kid, Damo, and I had a couple of West Coast coolers that night. So it was a good night in Kerrang.
And Ben Johinke, you good mate?
No, never heard of him.
All good bookstores, Damien?
I don't think so. No.
Time to change gear a little bit. We love on the Friday Huddle to get the story behind the footballers and the stories of the women that make them great. And it is a great treat to welcome a lady here who's not just got herself in, she's got a little baby in her belly as well. Her name is Marty Dangerfield. She is looking absolutely radiant. Before we get her to have a little chat to us, this is how her and Paddy announced they were going to have a baby.
Patrick and Marty are proud to announce a new Dangerfield for 2017. And I'm feeling Craig is the perfect name. This ultrasound has been brought to you by the obstetrician in association with the bedroom.
One of the great announcements done by Craigie Willis. Marty, welcome to the Friday Huddle. You look wonderful. Great to see you.
Thanks very much for having me.
Firstly, obviously, we can see the belly at this stage. How are you going? How far through and how's it been for you?
Yeah, it's quite obvious, my plus one that comes everywhere with me.
Yes, it is.
Going well. Still a little way to go, but yeah, so far as I know, everything's pretty smooth.
So I reckon that's one of the bravest things you can ever do as a man, Howie. Now, clearly know you're pregnant, Marty, but have you ever been in a room with someone where someone has got that wrong?
Lindsay Gilbey.
And because even if someone, and I used to do this to my wife, Marty, when she was 8 or 9 months pregnant, you walk into a shop and someone would say, congratulations, and I'd try and convince her to say, what are you talking about? And you should see people's face because there is no coming back from that conversation.
I did have someone ask me quite early on, probably 4 or 5 months in, and I thought, gee, that's brave. Just a complete stranger down the street. I don't think they had any idea, any connection to Pat either.
And they said, are you pregnant?
Yep.
Congratulations. Yep. Wow.
So I did. I stumbled because I just thought, gee, you are
good back
really confident.
Now, Marty, before we get on to Patty, a little bit about you. They tell me that you are one of the great netballers to ever play for Geelong Amateurs.
Oh, not ever. There's been a fair few better players than
Right. So you're not playing at the moment, obviously.
No, unfortunately.
Do you bounce back and return back to netball?
From the due date, there's about 5 rounds still to go before finals.
So you're still thinking finals?
I have my hopes up, but I think it's probably a little unrealistic.
And I also hear that your dad pretty much run this town. Your dad used to be the mayor of G-Town?
He was, yep, 07, 08.
Right, because Bill Brown has told me he's one of the great mayors this place has ever seen. Because he likes a beer. That was Bill's quote.
They have a pretty good bromance. I think every time I see Billy, he asks me, how's Dad going? And, tells me all about the last time they had a catch-up and a beer, whenever that was, probably just the week before.
So if the baby came on match day for netball, you'd miss the game?
For netball, yeah, probably have to.
Sorry about you, Yasley.
I would try and get through. Yeah. See how I felt in the warm-up.
Talking about your dad, Marty, but your mum is also incredibly vocal. I watched Patty win the Brownlow medal last year with your mum and Patrick's parents, and she was jumping up and down on the couch. She was more excited than they were.
Probably not more excited, but she's a big fan, mum. She's a very, very good support for both of us. And yeah, she, especially Brownlow Day, which is quite a stressful afternoon for myself, she's really, really good. She does all the running around. Yeah.
And tell us about Patty. How excited is he to become a dad? Because you can't wipe the smile off his face at the moment.
Yeah, he's pretty prepared. He's been excited for a couple of years, I think. He was a bit more keen than I was. But, he would have had, yeah, a couple of kids by now if he had the choice and it was purely him, which is wonderful to have that support around me and it be such an exciting time.
Your social media work as well with Patty, he's got no shame, that boy.
None, no. There are no secrets. What you see is what you get. That is my life 24/7.
Is there any imperfections? Because he is Mr. Perfect. Everything he does, we all love him and he presents so well and he's happy and he's a superstar. Is there anything you go, you know what, he annoys me a little bit on this front?
It annoys me with plenty of things.
We got time, Marty. We got time. Yeah, that's right. Roll them out.
That's right. Though there's a few things that he's, when you say he's perfect, he is so finicky with a lot of things. So around the house, he's super, super tidy. And I'm less tidy.
Yeah.
So that's really probably the most annoying thing is he's always telling me to pick up my stuff.
It's too tidy. That's all we can get him on.
Too tidy. Yes.
Take us through Brownlow Day, because not many girls go to the Brownlow knowing that their husband is actually going to win it. Like he was a moral last year. He won by that far. So you know that kiss, that big moment when he wins is coming up. How do you prepare for that? Because it's all about the boy, but obviously you have to prepare for that moment and make sure you're looking amazing too.
Really, in the lead up to the Brownlow, because he was such a strong favourite, it wasn't spoken about. We really didn't talk about it at home at all.
Just accepted.
No.
Didn't he put a ban on it?
Yeah, exactly. It was just don't talk about it, because I think he was really quite nervous that if it didn't all come through that, you know, he'd be the shortest odds to lose, you know. I think he was quite nervous about it not happening. So once it was quite late in the night, I think we'd sort of all relaxed a little bit.
I know that feeling. No, I once stolen off me, actually. Yeah, Marty, it's a bit emotional.
Did you get a vote that night?
Simon Black stole one off me a few years ago.
It happens.
Exactly.
Marty, living with a professional athlete, how much work goes into what we see him do out here on a Friday night or a Saturday or a Saturday night?
Yeah, it's a lot more than the 2 hours on a Saturday or Friday night. Like you said, it's just, it is every day and there's something on. Even if it's a day off, they've got something to do or jumps in the surf or something happening. So it's a lot bigger than just having fun on a game day. Pat's probably not your ideal professional. You know, he doesn't have a really strict diet or anything like that. So I guess it's normal for me. It's always been part of our relationship and my life for a number of years now. So probably can't compare it to something else.
And that surfing you touch on, he's almost in a weird way become as known for his love of surfing as it is football. Do you partake in that? And do you think number three will be partaking in it at a young age?
In surfing? Yeah. This child has no choice. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be in the water pretty early days, I'd say.
And yourself?
Terribly. Really badly on a G-board.
Does he need his own time out there, does he? Is that what it sort of is? Is it therapeutic to be by himself at times out there?
I don't think he's generally ever on his own out there. There's an abundance of Dangerfields that they all head out together.
We're speaking with Marty Dangerfield, the beautiful wife of Patty Dangerfield. Obviously, the move you were over there in Adelaide, there was so much scrutiny about what Patty was going to do. What's that like living inside that bubble, Marty?
It feels like a while ago now. That was a pretty interesting year, just because it wasn't, at the end of the day, it wasn't my decision. Yes, we had conversations go back and forth and obviously have an influence to a level. But he's got to be happy in his workplace and with that decision for much longer than I would if it was my decision. So it was a strange year, because I think especially when we kind of knew that we were coming to that decision to move back home, that that secretive nature of it was really hard to manage, I guess, when you're so close to people.
And you two are two of the most genuine people you ever find. So lying or having to fib to people would have been really difficult, I imagine.
Yeah, just I'd never really had that experience of talking around something. Pat, and I guess in the media, they're a bit more trained around, you know, not quite directly answering a question.
Yes.
You would know that. Yeah. That's just part of it. But that was never something that until that year that we decided to move back. I hadn't had to have those discussions and try and figure out a way to not answer, but also not to lie, because it wasn't.
You need that default line, don't you, Marty, on a few things?
Yeah, there's, what is it, 1 week at a time?
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
kind of things.
Structures and processes.
We'll make that decision at the end of the year. Mm.
Hey, Marty, you mentioned moving back, and Moggs Creek is home to the Dangerfields, and next to Aries. A beautiful part of the world down there. Tell us the setup, because there are literally Dangerfields everywhere. How close are the extended family?
They are across the creek. Yeah.
How many?
Not far.
Who's around?
There's
Mum and Dad?
Yep. Well, Pat's immediate family. And yep. there's...
Grandma?
Grandma's in Geelong. Yep. Or there's Grandma out in Pakenham. But most of the Dangerfield clan are between Geelong and Moggs Creek.
Well, what's it like living within that cult-style setup? That he's got ready? Yeah.
It has often been called a cult. They're all right, I guess. It is a different way, because I grew up in Geelong, so really close, again, to my family. So being that 45 minutes out of town to get to work and things like that was really a bit of a challenge to get used to. But in terms of the family, they're really, they're tight for a good reason. They're wonderful people, so I can only imagine why they enjoy each other's company.
And within that cult, do you see the alpha male or there are competing alpha males?
No, I wouldn't say there's an alpha male. I guess his nan is definitely the matriarch.
Right.
So, yeah, she is the top of the tree and she's here tonight. She's at every game.
She lets him know.
I saw him crack a raw egg on that grandma's head. It's a bizarre Easter tradition where...
Cult. I told you it's a cult dance down there.
Yeah. Mate, I've never seen like it. Is that what they do every Easter?
Yeah. Yep. So last Easter was actually my first experience of it. I've been around and avoiding it for a number of years for that reason, because it's dog eat dog. So
what happens? I didn't
they
say
crack
that
raw eggs on each other's head. There's a couple
grandma.
Of dozen. Yeah, grandma's, she's
she didn't
89.
Know it was coming
I was,
either.
I'm pregnant and there was no exception. So
the baby get one?
No, just me. Yeah.
Well, next. Marty, listen, we appreciate you coming. Hopefully your baby doesn't have to, you know, wear all white and follow some strange ritual. But best of luck with the pregnancy and best of luck getting back out on the netball court.
Thanks very much.
Damien Barrett with some late news, Damo.
Yeah, the Bulldogs are as named, Howie, and we know they made a lot of changes at selection last night. But there is a late change for the Cats, and that involves Cam Guthrie coming out of the 22 and into it, Jordan Murdoch.
Okay, so Guthrie out, Murdoch in. Unfortunately, our next guest is not playing. He's on the line now. Bit of a shoulder issue is keeping out at the moment, I believe. Matty Boyd. G'day, Boydie.
G'day, Howie. G'day, boys. How are we going?
Great to speak to you. Have you made your way down to Geelong? New stand, new opening. Surely you're here somewhere.
I would have loved to come down, mate, but an early rehab session tomorrow morning, so I'll be tucked up in bed straight after the game and getting ready for a big training session tomorrow.
Good boy. When are you back out and playing? Because we miss you.
Oh, I miss you too, mate. yeah, look, not 100% certain at the moment. As you know, with shoulders, there can be a bit of a slower sort of process. So hopefully just the one, but I suppose with the bye just around the corner, it gives a little bit of time if things don't go according to plan. So we can strengthen it up and get it cherry ripe.
Had a pretty rough start of the year, Boydie. You nearly had your ear taken off in an unbelievable incident. You showed me a photo of that a few weeks back. Is that all okay?
Yeah, it's... Not too bad. No hearing issues other than when Kate tells me I've got to go and do something. I'm trying to use that one as a bit of an excuse, but no, it's all good, mate. It was a bit of a freakish sort of incident, and luckily enough, the plastic surgeon fixed it up, but just couldn't fix the rest of my head up.
And, boy, it's a big call to have Libba dropped this week. Obviously, a really good player for you guys over a long period of time. Were you surprised with that decision, and how do you feel about it?
Oh, look, I think what we've seen, Juddy, is the fact that we've got a pretty deep list at the moment, and guys have got to perform and perform really well to keep their spots. So, you know, he probably would admit that he hasn't been at his best, but it won't take him long to recapture his sort of best form and get back in the side. And I had a chat to Libby yesterday about it and how he was feeling, and he was really excited about the opportunity to play tomorrow. So I think that's a big part of the acceptance process of getting dropped is whether you're looking forward or not to playing in the VFL, and he certainly is excited about it. So I don't think it'll be too long before he gets back in.
And Matty, just further to that and the specifics around Tommy Vettori, it's been something that Luke Beveridge has been prepared to do, hasn't he, since he walked into that footy club a couple of seasons ago, whereby the names don't mean anything. If you're not performing the way he wants, he makes that call. What sort of mindset does that create around the group, just in your eyes, having seen certain scenarios as you have over a long period of time in the AFL?
Well, I think it creates pressure, but it's not bad pressure. It's really healthy and exciting sort of pressure for all the players involved. They know that they've got to play well in it, and it keeps guys on edge, which is a great thing. You've sort of got to be on edge to play this game. It's a tough game, and you can't sort of go out there feeling complacent or feeling like your spot's secure, because inevitably someone from the VFL is going to be playing really well and pushing their name up, and that's what's happened so far this year.
Hey, Bordy, I'd be interested in your analysis during the week from the coaches. Geelong have lost three in a row, and there's been a distinct pattern to those three losses, particularly their two losses last year as well. Do you focus on that? Do you change your game plan to suit that, or is it just something that you keep in the back of your mind?
I think it's something you keep in the back of your mind. We really, I know this sounds pretty boring, but we really focus on us and what we can do well. And, you know, we've got specific style that we want to play. Obviously, you change your plans a little bit according to the personnel you're coming up against, but yeah, we're really confident with our style. So we've got no doubt that Geelong, they're going to come out firing. They're going to be ready to put on a really good show. You know, obviously the new stands opening up, the new ground, and losing three in a row. They just don't do that. So
yeah, you're right. That was the boring.
We're well and truly. Oh, thanks, Barry.
Yeah, no worries.
What more can you do? You can't really focus too much on the opposition. You just got to try and get your game right, which is what we've been trying to do over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks.
Just quietly, you get asked a boring question. It's pretty hard to get answered. Boydie, before we let you go, a lot of talk about the wild card this week, and the Dogs came up and who they would have had to play last year and what you would have had to do to win the premiership. As a man that's been involved in this sport for so long, do you like the wild card or not?
I've got no idea what the wild card is. No idea whatsoever. I've not read any of the papers or read any of the... what is the wild card? Can you fill me in?
Do you know, I love that about the modern player. You have no interest in anything outside of what helps you to play week in, week out. And I know him well enough, Bordy, that would be the case. So, no, I don't understand that either, Bordy. So, on that note, we'll let you go, my friend, and hope that the shoulder comes good soon and you're back on track doing what you love to do best, mate. Good luck.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
See you, mate. Great to speak to Matty Boyd on the Friday Huddle. We were speaking earlier on about patch-ups, Damo, because you had to confront Tommy Rockliffe on the Footy Show after you'd strafed him for 2 years.
It's a weekly occurrence, so I've got to patch up something with someone at some stage.
So I like the patch-up, and I like the patch-up conversation. So I said to the boys, before the game starts tonight, I'd like to hear some footy patch-up stories. Let's start with you, Damo, because we can narrow it down. We've got it down to about your best 200, but I think the one that involves Glenn Archer that you were just running by me is one that I'd like to hear.
Yeah, it's probably the one. Das mentioned the word fear before, and I do have it, Das. And I think Glenn Archer, when he turned on me, it was circa 2002 or 3, over the period of time when North was going through that nasty patch. And Glenn and I had been pretty good at this point, but I still to this day don't know what it was that I did that made him threaten my life and told me to actually stay where I was, because he knew where I was and was going to be able to get there in the space of 20 minutes and was going to ensure that I didn't walk out of the joint. And we can joke about it now. We have patched it up. It required, I think, Shannon Grant to maybe assist on that thing. But he's such a good bloke, as you know, Arch. That
did he threaten you?
It was as serious a threat as I've got.
Did you vacate the premises?
I waited, and then after 20 minutes, he wasn't there. And I was really happy he wasn't, because...
what would you have done, Damo, if he came barreling through the door?
I would have laid down can and I would have been at his mercy, like I am with any fight that goes on now.
What were you thinking waiting there, Damo?
I mean, well, I thought I'm better off at least... being there, like, as I do stand up to us. I'm not going to be able to throw one, but I'll certainly cop one if that's what needs to be done at times, Dust.
That's a good patch-up. I
think it would have been more work to actually walk away, Dust.
Brownie, you're a sort of prickly character when you want to be. Have you had patch-ups in footy that have been required?
Oh, not so much patch-up, how. I still think the hardest conversation I ever had was when I left, and you had to sit down there with the coach and explain to the coach that you were leaving. I mean, that's the closest thing to a patch-up. I never really had a blue with anyone apart from Das when he soaked it up like a baby. But he took it with the as good as he possibly could, but he was so disappointed. And I could see he was disappointed in me as a person, and that was a thing that stuck. It was probably the why Das was disappointed with me.
Did you hedge around, or did you just come and say, Plough, I'm off?
No, it was Peter Rode at the time.
Right, so, of course.
And we'd had Peter Rode there for a while. So it was, not a patch-up job, but one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do.
I remember Robert Walls wrote an article about me, Juddy, and I thought I was going particularly well at this stage. And the article brought me back down to earth with a nice old thud. As Walls, you could do more than anyone else. And he sort of attacked me as an individual and said, I think I was captain at the time, and said, lack of leadership, selfish. And it was just a body blow after body blow. And I was steaming. So by pure coincidence, I was doing some radio as a player, and I walked down the stairs this particular radio station, and I walked straight into Robert Walls, and I go, mate, that is the most disgraceful, pathetic, weak thing that's ever been. It's got lack of research. Your numbers are wrong. And you see, do you ever ring anyone? So I've launched, and
just one-on-one?
One-on-one.
Yeah.
Just totally. You know, and he looked at me and he said, "Do you know what, mate? I don't give a." and then he just continued to walk past, and I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. And by pure coincidence, the first full-time job I got in media was with Channel 10.
Yep.
And Dave Barham is a good friend of yours, ran Channel 10. He rang Robert Walls, who was the main man.
My word.
And very much, and he said, I'm thinking this, we should get young players about to retire, Luke Darcy, into the commentary. And Robert Walls said, 100%, you should get him. If he's got the chutzpah to stand up one-on-one. So that was an awkward first meeting, though, after that. I hadn't spoken to him since then. The first day in the commentary
That's
box
a good patch
was
up.
Awkward, but yeah.
That's we a worked good patch it out. Up.
Before we get to Juddy's, what about yours, Howie?
Well, Dame, I'm not a man to normally sort of...
No, you're a lover. You're a lover, and you're a... You love the surf, and you're like one with the water.
Well, I've only ever had one uncomfortable instance in football that I was called in late in my younger day to host a president's function for the Bulldogs. And David Smorgon was in charge at the time. And I did the intro and did all the sponsorship stuff, and then I had to interview someone, and he wasn't happy with how I was going. So he went to the media manager and said, whoever that bloke is, get him off.
Smorgo.
We'll get Dougie Hawkins to do the interview. And I take things to heart, and I was pretty flat about it. So I found, I left with my tar between my legs.
Mid-job.
Because he said, what am I going to sit there? And, so I left mid-job. The only function I've ever been told it wasn't going that well.
Did you get paid?
Well, this is the thing. I was that steamed up. I got his email, and I thought, right, I'm going to send him one of the great emails to really put my point of view across that I didn't think it was fair on his behalf. 3 days later, I sent him an email. Dear David, I appreciated your words at the function. I think that it didn't go as well as it could have. I should have done a better job. And from my point of view, I'm really disappointed, and you don't need to pay me. So that's the best I gave
and
him.
And haven't heard from him.
No, he sent me one back saying, okay, no problem, thanks. Oh,
we were.
So David
Smorgon
hooked you mid function, did he? Really?
Mid function. Because I hadn't introduced the sponsors in the appropriate manner. Mid function. I was that flat about it
that
for
is
a good,
extraordinary.
Good,
good
effort,
6 weeks.
What about you, Jody? I can't imagine you having too many blues.
I haven't had too many issues. I think the only thing I did on the field that I was flat about was. The main thing was the chicken wing to old Lee Adams, which required a little
Actually,
bit of patching.
I haven't heard you talk about
so
this
I did. I did make contact with Lee and let him know I felt poorly about that and hoped that he was okay. And
how was that received, Jody? That phone through? Call
was it? It was warm. It was pretty warm.
It was okay. Yeah.
All things considered.
He couldn't answer it with his right arm, could he? The phone. He had to, poke at the button.
He bobbed it with his nose.
what were you thinking that night, Jody?
Well, I clearly wasn't really thinking, but it was a spur of the moment thing. Purple, it wasn't a heap of planning going into it.
You've really put the term chicken wing on the sporting agenda.
I put it on the map,
but
you see a few of them now, Das.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to take anything away from what I did, but I was technically ahead of my time.
Did you get any humour out of Fev doing it to you at the Brownlow? Because I felt you handled yourself quite well that night, but I felt like you had a head of steam up that if you could have whacked him, you probably would have.
I didn't feel a lot of humour that night, Brandon. to be honest, it was the end of an era.
Nicely done. The patch-up. I think we need to revisit the patch-up again at some stage.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.